Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 26. So this could be a sermon, but it also could be a Bible study. It doesn't matter. There's tons of stuff to study out with this topic that I'm going to be looking at. Be looking at the word prepping, and the word prepping means preparing something or preparing for something. And we probably have heard this word, especially a lot more lately. With everything going on, you might have heard the word. So I don't know what you guys think of when you hear the word prepping, or you know, preparing or prepping. What do you guys? What's the first thing? What's something that comes to your mind? I don't know. Anybody have any thoughts? Okay, yeah, Michael's going to the Bible. I meant like in general, but prepare to meet thy God is one that I have here later on. Any thoughts just come to your mind in general about the world or anything about when you hear prepping? Preparing dinner, okay. We say hurricane prepping. That's one. Insurance is a prepping. Yes, it's preparing. Exactly. So I have these. I have those all written down here. Anything else you'll think of? Cleaning tools. That's preparing your tools to be used and used continually, maintaining them. Don, do you have your hand up? Yep. That was like one of the main ones I usually think of, is the economic downturn and like apocalypse people think, like doomsday prepping is kind of like a common nomenclature or something you hear a lot, you might hear. It's funny, like a lot of these rich people buying, you know, islands for, you know, evacuating to, like, what would the rich people, maybe they have something planned or they're ready for something. Maybe people buy cans of food. Now, that's not bad. I think in Florida, we have hurricanes, so having some backup or excess of you know, cans of food or something like that in case something happens, it makes sense. I mean, a lot of times maybe people might think of some crazy guy off the grid somewhere that has, you know, all this stuff set up and he's ready for like a civil war to break loose and the whole entire world to collapse or something like that. But no, there's a lot of, like you guys mentioned, a lot of things that are common sense. Insurance or it was one, retirement might be one. You guys might think of any food shortages that happens. We've been happening sporadic food shortages around the nation. Power outages. It doesn't just have to be hurricanes, but earthquakes can cause power outages. Power outages just can just happen if you live in California. Savings account, maybe rainy day fund or something like that. Good morning. Savings accounts or anything like that. We're talking about prepping, and you can prep a lot of different ways for a lot of different things. So I have some of these stats here on preparing or prepping for different things we mentioned just now. 75% of working Americans save for retirement, and the average retirement savings is $65,000. People are ready for something, right? It can be anything. Maybe something falls on your roof, or anything could happen. You know, you could get an injury. A car crash or something like that. In 2021, 45%, this is a survey done, I think, they're asking people about if they prepare or if they bought any food for prepping for anything. It says, I think the question is about money on survival materials or preparing for something, a survival situation. 45% of Americans, that's over 115 million people, said they spent money on survival materials. And the average spending was around $2,000. The previous year, it was only 20% of Americans. So just in that one year from after COVID, people were like, hey, maybe I should just kind of buy some stuff because things were shut down. And they're like, if the government can do this, you probably should just be ready in case, you know, stuff gets shut down again. And apparently a lot of that was spent on toilet paper, which is kind of funny. I'm like, well, that makes sense. The toilet paper randomly just disappeared off the shelves for a while there. Not sure. I mean, that's the thing, yeah, I guess. We're talking about prepping. Sorry, those of you who came late. Prepping or preparing. So you can prepare a lot of different ways, as we mentioned, not just for survival, you know, situations or whatever the end of the world, but you can prep. You know, we just mentioned retirement or insurance or whatever. Insurance, you're literally putting money into something, and there's no guarantee it's going to happen. You're just, in the event that it does, you're ready. You're prepared. It makes sense. So you prepare every single day. We just got to the church here. You had to prepare to come to church. I hope. Hope you did. Maybe you took a shower. Maybe you didn't. Maybe you brushed your teeth. Maybe you didn't. Maybe some prepare more than others. Micah might work out every day before church. I don't know if he works out on church day, but he's preparing his body for, you know, the progression in age there. So we prep all the time. It's kind of interesting. So, you know, prepping doesn't just have to be a kind of weird thing. We do it all the time. So my question is, what does the Bible say about preparing? So we're going to look at a lot of verses. I went and I tried to pull out, and there's a lot more verses we can pull out here and a lot more cross-references we can run, but I'm just kind of skimming the surface on the word prepare or any form of that throughout the Bible. And it's mentioned a lot of times. I think we have, it's mentioned over 189 times in the Bible. So let's look at the Bible's definition of the word prepare. Matthew 26, I like how Micah does this, and I try to, I like doing this too, is you look at, ever since Micah showed me this, you just look at the word and look at that same word in other verses, or maybe the same verse in other passages, and see if that word changed, and then that kind of gives you an idea of what that word means or the context. So Matthew 26, this is where, this is before Jesus' crucifixion. They're preparing, they're going to start, they're going to get ready for the feast. They're going to start, they're going to eat before he goes to be crucified. Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 17. Okay, look at verse 16. And from that time on, he sought opportunity to betray him. That's talking about Judas Iscariot, right? And verse number 17. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare?" There's our word. "For thee to eat the Passover." And he said, "Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples." And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them. And if we did that every time, we just, here's what Jesus said to us, we did it, man, we'd be so much better off. The disciples did as Jesus had appointed them. I just lost my place here. And they made ready for the they made ready the Passover. Okay, so there's our definition. If you notice carefully, where wilt thou in verse number 17? Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? Verse number 19, and they made ready the Passover. So that's simply okay to prepare. In this case, was to make ready. All right, that's what they did. They made ready the Passover. Prepare to eat the Passover. Made ready the Passover. Pretty straightforward, and if you look at that same passage in other Gospels where it's mentioned, you kind of see the same thing. You don't get this exact straightforward definition from verse 17 to 19, but you see where they're preparing for Jesus Christ, where they're making the food ready, but they don't actually explicitly say the word prepare, but here it actually calls it out, preparing the Passover. So prepare is to make ready, and there's a lot of things that people make ready in the Bible. A lot of different people make a lot of different things ready, get things prepared for something. So we're going to go through a lot of these different passages and kind of some varying contexts, and you'll kind of see different people or different groups of people or persons preparing for things. So let's go ahead and dive in here. Turn to Isaiah chapter 40. We're going to look at just like, I only have a couple passages here. There's probably a lot more you can look at. Isaiah chapter 40, this is on Gentiles preparing. The Gentiles preparing. We're going to look at different people preparing in the Bible. Does anybody know a Gentile that prepared something big for a big event? A Gentile. Anybody think of a Gentile in the Bible that prepared something? No. A major event. Anybody think of it? Okay, that's a good one. Yeah, see, so that's what I'm saying. There's a lot of Gentiles that prepared. That's a great one. Okay, good. And I'll even show you this. I'll show you the verse. We'll turn to it in a second. But it's a big event that happened early on in the Bible. But here, let's look at Isaiah chapter 40 first. But those are definitely examples. As I said, there's tons of examples of Gentiles preparing. We're going to look at just a couple of them. This is, it could be good, it could be bad sometimes. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 18. To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over the gold, or spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. he that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that it will not rot, he seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. So the Gentiles, in this case, they prepare gods to worship because they don't have the God of all creation. They have their gods that they make, and they prepare their gods, and then they worship those gods that they just prepared. You know, I'm not sure why your hands formed this god that you're going to start worshiping. Why would you not be the god that you'd be worshiping? And that's probably, you know, that's ultimately what they're doing. Anyways, there's an example of Gentiles in the Bible preparing, and that's not a good preparing. So you can prepare for things that are bad, and you can prepare in a good way, right? So there's also good preparation even done from Gentiles as well, and that's kind of what I was trying to get at. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and this is, you know, Hebrews chapter 11, so it might give you a hint there on who might be preparing here, but Gentiles or anybody could prepare for bad things or good things. Maybe someone who's committing a crime. If it's premeditated or some sort of crime that they're committing, they prepare. If you watch these like movies where they like someone's going to perform a heist on something, they're going to steal something, they do a lot of preparation. They might get, you know, different technology. They might study that. So they prepare. So you can prepare for things that are bad. But we want to look at. So I'm just kind of looking through the Bible on the word preparing, and showing you. In this case, we're looking at the Gentiles. So Hebrews chapter 11, and verse number 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God. So you know that now, bells might be going off, you know, in your head. Being warned of things of God, not seen as yet. So it's something that's coming in the future. Moved with fear, look at this, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So this is an example of preparing for something in a good way, in a good light. He prepared the ark that God had told him to prepare. God said, this is what's going to happen, and if you should do this in order to avoid this and escape this and to be saved, and you and your family. And he prepared the ark, just as God said, and he escaped the destruction of the world. The entire globe got flooded right there. So that is the example of, and he was a Gentile, right? That's before Abraham. So Noah was a Gentile, right? Abraham came from the Gentiles, and he was called out, and Abram became Abraham, and that's when God set apart the Jews. So right here we have an example of Gentiles preparing as well. So the Gentiles prepare, and what about the Jews? The Jews prepare. So let's turn to Numbers. I have a bunch of different passages on this one. Numbers chapter 15. In the Bible, we have people preparing all the time. Numbers, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. People prepare, Gentiles prepare, and the Jews prepare. Numbers chapter 15. Let's just start in verse 1, and we'll read down to verse 5. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye be come into the land of your habitations, which I give unto you, that's the land that God gave Abraham, right? And will make an offering by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering, or a sacrifice in performing a vow, or in a freewill offering, or in your solemn feasts, to make a sweet savor unto the Lord of the herd or of the flock, then shall he that offereth his offering unto the Lord bring a meat offering of a tenth deal of flour mingled with the fourth part of an hin of oil. And the fourth part of a hin of wine for a drink offering shalt thou prepare with the burnt offering or sacrifice for one lamb. So you saw the word prepare there. Now obviously you can say, just because it doesn't say the word prepare, it doesn't mean it's not preparing. So there's tons of examples of this where they're preparing this offering or preparing this sacrifice unto the Lord all through the Old Testament. Where they're preparing to offer unto the Lord for whatever. There's a bunch of different sacrifices here mentioned. Sacrifice performing a vow or a freewill offering, solemn feasts. So all those mentioned, those are things that the Jews do, and they prepare to offer unto the Lord for their, in that case, at the time, they were supposed to offer for the Lord. That was what God commanded them to do, and that's what they were to do for their sins, right? Ezekiel, I have it here in Ezekiel 45 and 46, but I didn't call out a verse there. But so let's, maybe we can turn there. I think it's mentioned a bunch of times, the word prepare. Ezekiel 45. I'm just going to see what we have here. I think these two chapters are just loaded with preparing offerings. Maybe you can go back, actually, and study those chapters out. That's where they were in the context here, where they're offering unto the Lord, and it talks about preparing offerings unto the Lord all through these two chapters here. So turn to, sorry, I didn't mean to get off track there. Turn to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. So we're looking at different Jews in the Bible, or the Jews, even as a nation. That was as a nation and individuals preparing sacrifices, in that case, unto the Lord, preparing offerings unto the Lord. That was part of what they were supposed to do for their sins. Mark chapter 1. Sorry. In verse number 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee." The voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. So this is talking about, this is actually in the Old Testament as well, right? This is prophecy talking about the one, in this case, John the Baptist, who would prepare the way of the Lord and go and preach before Jesus Christ came. He was preaching in the wilderness. So mentioned twice there, prepare the way. In verse 2, it says, "Prepare thy way before thee." And then the voice is crying, in this case, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." So he's actually, in that case, telling the, John the Baptist is preparing for Jesus Christ to come, and he's telling everybody else he's preaching to be prepared as well for Jesus Christ to come. That's the first time. That's a good question for us. Are we going out, are we prepared for Jesus Christ to come the second time? And are we going out and telling people to be prepared for Jesus Christ to come the second time? We should be doing just exactly what John the Baptist is doing. Now it's a different context, right? Because now Jesus Christ has already died, but he's going to come again. And people need to be ready. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Praise the Lord. Let's go to Mark chapter 14. We'll stay in this book for now. Might be a lot of turning, a lot of pages turning here. Again, we're looking at preparing. In this case, this is Jews, different Jews in the Bible preparing. Gentiles prepare. The Jews prepare. Mark chapter 14 and verse number 13. And he sendeth forth, we'll go back to 12. "And the first day of the unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said to him," so now this is kind of familiar here. Sorry, let me try to, my phone turned off here. What was that, verse 12? "His disciples said unto him, Where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover?" We said that before. "And he sendeth forth two of his disciples and saith unto them, Go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water." A little more detail on the same man here. We read this in Matthew. "Follow him." So they just start following this guy. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the good man of the house, The master saith, Where is the guest chamber? And where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples?" And look at verse number 15. "And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There make ready for us." So this one you get a little bit more detail, and there's not just the disciples preparing the Passover. The guy that the disciples were going to was already prepared for them to prepare the Passover. So there is a layer of preparation going on here, and different people preparing and not even knowing that. I don't even know what he knew, actually. I don't know why this guy was already ready to go. Maybe Jesus had already spoken to him before, or maybe he prayed and God told him to start preparing a room and he didn't know why. But some reason, this guy has a room in the upper room prepared and furnished for Jesus Christ and his disciples to prepare the Passover. So that's some preparation inception right there. Preparing to prepare. So sometimes your preparation, maybe you're preparing to go and preach the gospel, that might help somebody else that was already preparing something else. Maybe someone else had already prepared to go and preach to somebody else, and just by you being there, it added to what God wanted to do in someone else's life. We don't know the what God has given someone else to do. We just know, hey, what am I supposed to do? And I do what I'm supposed to do, what God told me to do. And if I do that, then I'm doing what God told me to do, and that's what's right. And ultimately, God gets the glory for all of it, right? God coordinated this, and this is just a light thing, but praise the Lord, it worked out for the glory of God. It was, imagine you're going there, you're like, oh, we're just going to find some random guy. All right, let's just start following this guy. All right, hey, do you have a room ready for us to eat? And this guy's like, I don't even know these people, but yeah, I prepared this room up here for somebody. I don't know who. So it's probably really interesting from the disciples' point of view. What, you know, and this guy probably, you know, what's going on? And Jesus is like, yeah, this is exactly what I've prepared. I planned this exactly to be exactly this way. Turn to Luke chapter 23. So what's cool is in all of this, God is preparing as well, right? You kind of see that underlying. God prepared the disciples to prepare all these other things. So if Jesus Christ wasn't who he is, none of this would be falling into place here in that case. Luke chapter 23. Sorry. In verse number, yeah, we're gonna be at the end of 23 and the beginning of 24 here. So, 23, verse number 50. We'll start at 50. So Jesus Christ had just been crucified and gave up the ghost. And in verse number 50, and behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the council and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate, and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down, and wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. So there was a day called the preparation. That day was the preparation. Verse number 55, and the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. So they watched everything, they saw it all happen, and now they know where Jesus Christ is being laid, these two women. And they returned, and look at this, and prepared spices and ointments and rested on the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now look at verse number 1 of chapter 24. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. So, and then you go on, and they write, and they end up seeing Jesus Christ there. But you see here that there's a lot of preparation going on here. Joseph of Arimathea preparing the body of Jesus Christ to be laid in the tomb, and then the women also preparing these spices and ointments for the body of Jesus Christ. I'm not sure how they were planning on opening the tomb there, but they were like, hey, we're getting prepared either way. I'm not, you know, I don't know all the ins and outs of what God put on their hearts here. But they had prepared these ointments, and then they rested, and then they came with the ointments that they prepared. So this is a great example of, again, where we prepare to do something, we get things ready, and then we go out and we use the things that we prepared for whatever purpose that we use them. Now, again, practical application. These are Jews here, but we're Bible-believing Christians, and not that we're preparing spices and ointments for the body of Jesus Christ, but we should be preparing something, right? In this case, I had to prepare to get all these verses together and then prepare to teach them this morning. We have to prepare to, if you're going to disciple anybody, hopefully you should prepare what you're going to have to say and how you're going to lead them. You know, that's what we should be doing as Christians. We should either be discipling or being discipled. We should be part of the body of Christ in teaching one another. And part of that teaching requires preparation. And I'm sure Micah can speak to that. Any teachers here that have taught any classes, they do a lot of preparation. I think Sherry, you know, just does a great job at preparing. I was her student, and, you know, if a teacher is a good teacher, they will take a lot of time in preparation for the next day, for the class that they're going to teach. And I don't think you guys get paid at all for the prep time, right, before? Yeah. So it's just part of the teaching, and it takes, and some teachers spend a lot more time not getting paid any extra than any other teachers necessarily, but they want to do a good job, and they want to prepare for an event in the future, for a future. So they don't even know if school is going to happen the next day, necessarily, right? People could, you know, something could happen. Maybe, you know, who knows? But they don't even know what's going to happen the next day. They're just prepared in case it does happen. They're ready to be teaching the students. So that's the Jews preparing. We saw the Gentiles preparing. Those are a bunch of different Jews preparing. Now, there's, again, tons of Jews preparing all through the Bible here. You can easily find. I'm just looking at, you know, various topics. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9. This is a pretty cool one here. Again, all I did here was just go to my Store Searcher, I think, on the computer, and just look the word prepare, and started digging through all these verses and kind of seeing what you could glean from these things, or, you know, who's preparing here, and where it's used. So here's another example of someone preparing, and it's not a Gentile and not a Jew here. Revelation chapter 9 and verse number 15. And the four angels were loosed. So if you looked in a previous verse, talks about these four angels here, but the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. So God prepared, and technically God prepared these angels, but these angels had to be ready. They had to be prepared to do what God has set them out to do here. On a certain day, a certain hour, what does it say here? A day, an hour, and a month, and a year. So there's a certain time set apart just for these angels to be loosed and to do what God has them to do here, in this case, to slay the third part of men. I don't want to be there for that. I'm just saying this was a preparation. In this case, the angels are preparing. So Gentiles prepared, Jews prepared, angels even prepare. Let's see some more preparation in the Bible. Turn to Proverbs, I think it is. Again, we're kind of flying through some of these, but Proverbs 30. So even angels prepare things, and they're ready for things that God has told them to be ready for. Proverbs 30. I don't know how much more time we'll have to. Hopefully, we're doing pretty good on time, but hopefully we can get to the part where we have to prepare, but maybe that'll be a part two. Proverbs chapter 30. This is something else preparing. Proverbs chapter 30, verse number. Let's look at verse 24. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. Look at verse 25. The ants are people, not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. So Micah, I think, has preached on this a lot, or I've heard this different preachers, but these ants here, how tiny is an ant, right? Now, the different ones, some are bigger than others, some sting harder than others, but some are just so tiny you can barely even see them. It just says the ants. I imagine they all sort of do this. They prepare, they're not very strong. I guess that we could make the argument, oh, well, they can hold 10 times their weight or something. But they're not very big. You can easily crush them. But they prepare their meat in the summer. So they are ready for something, right? They know that, hey, winter comes and I'm not going to be able to gather food. Wherever I'm at, you know, it might be worse. You know, Florida, it doesn't really matter. There's no such thing as winter really here. But if you're up north, you only get some summertime to grow some stuff or to gather some food. And then you're going to have a hard, long winter maybe. And you got to be ready for that. So they are ready. They're prepared. They prepare their meat in the summer and they gather it all together. So that way they can eat it throughout the wintertime. So they're prepared for hardship, hard time in the future. They don't even know for sure if it's coming, but they're ready for it to come. It might not be a hard winter that year, but they're prepared. So Gentiles prepare who aren't saved. Jews prepare. In the Old Testament, they didn't have the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit, but he prepared. He prepared things for God. Angels prepared. And ants, even ants prepare in the Bible, right? That's what we find here in the Bible. And lastly, you'll look at even God himself prepares. And we kind of hinted at that. But God prepares a ton of things. And this one probably is the most mention of the word prepare is actually related to God preparing something specifically, which is pretty interesting. Turn to Psalm Psalm 147. Psalm 147. In verse number, look at 7. Yeah, look at 7. Look at that. Sing unto the Lord. I didn't even plan this. With thanksgiving. Praise the Lord. Actually, I wrote these verses down like probably a month ago, so I wasn't thinking about Thanksgiving here. With thanksgiving. Praise the Lord. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God. Verse number 8. Who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth the rain for the earth, who maketh the grass to grow upon the mountains. So God prepares, in this case, the rain to rain on the grass, so that way everything keeps growing and life continues. Your life, my life, would not continue without God in every aspect. And this is one tiny aspect of all of our lives, but it goes such a far way. If it didn't rain, we didn't have anything to eat. The things you eat are eating things that the rain has to help grow. So you wouldn't have any cows or any chickens, nothing. You wouldn't be able to eat anything because God's preparing the rain and the vegetables you eat, the grass that's eaten by the cows, all that's going to require that rain. That's prepared by God, and so God sustains every aspect of life, even the rain. Look at Proverbs chapter 8. Sorry, we're kind of going back and forth here, but we should be in Proverbs and Psalms a few times. A lot of mentions of prepare in Psalm. Proverbs chapter 8. This is God preparing. God preparing different things. Did you know God was a prepper? You know that? I didn't. I found that out reading the Bible. 8, verse number 27. Actually, it's... I don't know if we can go back a little bit. Let's look at verse number 22, kind of give us some context. The Lord possessed me, he's talking about wisdom, The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was, whenever it was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Verse number 25, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth. So this is, and now the words mentioned prepared only about the heavens there, but all those things are God preparing. God prepared the heavens. He prepared all these things for life to be inhabitable on this earth. He prepared the heavens to be a certain way so life could sustain. God prepares the earth. And we won't turn here, you guys can turn there. Psalm 74, verse 16, talks about God preparing the light and the sun. Actually, let's turn to this one, though. Psalm 103. So he prepared the rain, he prepared the heavens, he prepared the light and the sun. All this stuff that you're seeing around you, God prepared it just for this to work the way that it is, obviously without sin originally, but nevertheless. Psalm 103, and verse number 19. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Even his throne, he prepared it to be in the heavens. I think Psalm chapter 9 and verse 7 also. Psalm chapter 9, 7 talks about the same thing: God preparing his throne. That's for him to sit upon it in the heavens. Some more about God preparing for specific purposes. That was more about the earth and the heavens, and also his throne being in the heavens. There, he prepares things for different people and different purposes. Specifically, if you look in Psalm chapter 23. How are we doing on time? All right? Yeah, we're good. Psalm chapter 23. You guys know this passage here, but it talks about preparing, God preparing something. And this is this section here under God preparing. This is preparing things that God has prepared for the Jews. I don't have in here a passage I was going to grab, but Psalm 23 and verse number 5. Yep, got me there. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runs over. This is David writing this, right? So he's preparing, he prepared a table before God. Now you could say that God prepares a table, if you read the whole, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You read the whole Psalm 23, you could make some personal application there, but specifically, he's talking about a Jew here, he's talking about David, preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. God blesses the Jew, despite the enemies trying to destroy them. God blesses them. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 22. So we're in the Old Testament a lot here. And in the end of everything, right, God's going to restore the Jew back to himself. So he's preparing all this stuff that's going to happen, right? The tribulation is called the time of Jacob's trouble. So God will be preparing some hardship for them. But then in the end, the redemption of the Jew, and he's saving the remnant, right? They don't all get wiped out at the end of the tribulation. He saves them, and then there's the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Jeremiah chapter 22 and verse number 7. And I will prepare destroyers against thee, and he's talking to the Jew here, everyone with his weapons, and they shall cut down thy choice cedars and cast them into the fire. And many nations shall pass by the city, and they shall say every man to his neighbor, wherefore hath the Lord done thus unto this great city? So, and keep reading here. Then they shall answer, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord, their God, and worshipped other gods and served them. So see, they had a covenant with the Lord. And God was going to bless them. God was blessing them, right? He prepared a table before them in the presence of their enemies. And yet, when they turned and worshipped other gods and served them instead of the God that blessed them and the God that called them out from the other nations, then God, verse 7, will prepare destroyers against thee. Now, it doesn't even say that he did it at this time. It just says he will prepare, right? This is saying, if they do these things, this is what's going to happen to them. They had it clearly spelled out, but they didn't read the Word of God, or maybe they just didn't care what God's Word had to say, and look at what ended up happening to them in the end. So God prepares a table for the Jews. He prepares, in this case, destruction, destroyers for the Jews in the event that they turn from his covenant. And then we know that in the end, he will restore the Jew back to himself, restore that covenant with them after the Great Tribulation. I don't have that passage here, but study that out. And one interesting one that was pretty cool, that stood out, just was kind of interesting, on the Jew and God preparing some stuff, was Jonah. And you can go and read it, but the word prepare is mentioned 4 times there. He prepared the great fish to swallow Jonah. And then at the very end of the book of Jonah, he prepares 3 things. The gourd, the worm, and the wind. At the very end, if you guys remember those things, the gourd came up, and then God prepared a worm. The gourd provided shade for Jonah, and then the worm came and ate the gourd. And then Jonah got mad, and the wind came, right? And the sun beat upon Jonah, and he got all angry about it. So God prepares a lot of things for the Jew, and there's a lot more, again, on the word preparing with respect to the Jew, but this is specifically God and what God has prepared for them. God has also prepared things for the devil. If you turn to Isaiah chapter 14, Isaiah chapter 14, and verse number, let's see if we can maybe get a context here. We can go to verse 12, and we'll go down. Isaiah 14:12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? So that's who we're talking about. We're talking about Lucifer. Hopefully you have a King James Bible, because then you have that word there. You have the name of the devil. Son of the morning, not the morning star, son of the morning. How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. So So right there, Lucifer's trying to predict what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. I'm going to do all these things. God's like, that's not going to happen. This is what's going to happen. You're going to be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee. So it's almost like a God rebutting the devil. He's like, I know you said all these things, but here's my rebuttal to what you had to say. And consider thee, saying, this is verse number 16, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nation, even all them that lie in glory, everyone in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the remnant of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden under feet. This is just God, you know, given it all. This is pretty rough to hear. If you're on the other end of this, you know, I'm just so glad I'm not on this side of God's wrath right here. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. Thy seed of evildoers shall never be renounced. You can't even die in the place he wants to die. Prepare slaughter. So verse number 21, prepare slaughter for his children, for the iniquity of their fathers, that they do not rise nor possess the land nor fill the face of the world with cities. So right there, he prepares slaughter for the devil. In this case, it says his children, he's not going to be producing here. He prepared slaughter for them. So God prepares things for the devil. If you in Genesis 3, he talks about the judgment for the serpent for giving the fruit to the woman. The woman shall have a seed, and it shall bruise thy head. Thou shalt bruise his heel. That's God preparing. That's him saying prophecy. This is what's going to happen to you in the future, and I have this prepared for you. Your head's going to be bruised. Matthew chapter 25. This is what God has prepared for the devil. This one kind of covers a couple people, though. Matthew 25, and verse number 41. We can even go back to 40. Actually, let's go to 34. 33, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. And I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. For the sheep that are on his right hand, he had prepared a kingdom prepared. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you. And verse number, let's keep going down, 36, naked ye clothed me, I was sick, and ye visited me, I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Verse 37, then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? King and shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he also say unto them on the left, depart ye me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And he goes on to repeat the same portion where but in this case they didn't do those things. So the everlasting fire in this case is prepared for the devil and his angels, but those that in this case were on the left hand of the goats, they were sent there as well. But this is everlasting fire. So you could argue here, I don't know, is hell the everlasting fire? Hell gets cast into the lake of fire. So the lake of fire maybe would be the thing here that is prepared for the devil and his angels. I don't know if anybody has any thoughts on that, but that's kind of my understanding there. What do you think, Micah? Lake of fire, probably. So right there, that's things that God has prepared for the devil. He prepared slaughter. He prepared the seed of the woman, which ended up being Jesus Christ, to bruise the head of the serpent. And he prepared everlasting fire for the devil. Turn to, let's see. I think we're getting pretty close in time here. I probably will come back and revisit the rest of these because it might make more sense in the context. But is there any questions or comments on prepping or preparing in the Bible or maybe in general?